Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another exciting episode of Thriller Podcast. Today, we're talking Bitcoin millionaire airdrops millions of dollars in Hong Kong. We got Bitcoin supporter Mick Mulvaney hired as chief of staff. And then finally, in our main topic, we're discussing Bitcoin recall. That's right. So many of us have forgotten why we got into this space. I need you to remember, and I need you to help me save the world. Thriller Podcast, starting now.
Welcome to Thriller with Car Gonzalez, broadcasting from Austin, Texas, via Simplecast and supported by listeners like you. It's time for the news. 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 Thriller with Gonzalez.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another exciting episode of Thriller Podcast. Today is December 17th, 2018. Let's jump into the news. So first up, we got Bitcoin millionaire airdrops millions of dollars in Hong Kong. That's right. A Chinese 24-year-old Bitcoin millionaire by the name of Wang Chingkit dropped over hundreds of millions of Hong Kong dollars from the rooftop as he feels it is his responsibility to teach the world about Bitcoin. That's right. So during this event, he proclaimed that he felt like God, and he also felt responsible for teaching the world about Bitcoin. Two very serious claims. The main question that everybody's asking is, why is he doing this? What is the reason for this? Later, it was found out that he is starting an ICO. I won't mention it, just because then, you know, it goes about not doing it for the reasons he said. But overall, it was just a publicity stunt, and it worked because we're talking about it. But seriously, I think if he would have just gave away free money and left it at that and helped the world, that would have been great. He ended up getting arrested, so they arrested him today for that publicity stunt. But I'm sure it's going to help his ICO tremendously. Next up, we got Bitcoin supporter Mick Mulvaney hired by Donald Trump as chief of staff. That's right. So we don't really talk about political news here, but this is probably going to have a huge impact, especially if the person that just got hired as chief of staff is a major Bitcoin advocate in the White House. And Mulvaney is a crypto supporter and a big fan of Bitcoin. And he was one of the people who worked for creating the Blockchain Caucus, a group of lawmakers that create new laws regarding emerging technologies such as cryptocurrency. Mulvaney has already stated blockchain technology has the potential to revolutionize the financial services industry, the U.S., the economy, and the delivery of government services. I am proud to be involved with this initiative. Well, we'll see what happens. Next up, we have, that's right, 1 year ago today, Bitcoin reached an all-time high. That was December 17th, 2017, and it was an awesome day. I remember it like it was yesterday. Since then, the price of Bitcoin has tanked, as you all know, and right now it's currently trading at $3,400. But I think if you had gotten in prior to that whole bull run, you would have been just fine. So ultimately, if you're still holding from 20,000, I personally believe if you wait a couple years, you'll be just fine. But then again, I'm super bullish these days. All right. And our last piece of news is some sad news. Cypherpunk legend and author of the Crypto Anarchist Manifesto has passed away at the age of 67. His passing was announced Saturday by Lucky Green, also a self-described cypherpunk, saying that his dear friend May had passed away earlier this week at his home in Corrales, California. The death appears to be of natural causes. And it's very sad just because of what he created and how much he spread awareness. Let me read something from the Crypto Anarchist Manifesto. He says, "A specter is haunting the modern world, the specter of crypto anarchy. Computer technology is on the verge of providing the ability for individuals and groups to communicate and interact with each other in a totally anonymous manner. Two persons may exchange messages, conduct business, and negotiate electronic contracts without ever knowing the true name or legal identity of one another. The state will, of course, try to slow or halt the spread of this technology, citing national security concerns, use of the technology by drug dealers and tax evaders, and fears of societal disintegration. Many of these concerns will be valid. Crypto anarchy will allow national secrets to be freely traded and will allow illicit and stolen materials to be traded as well. An anonymous computerized market will even make possible abhorrent markets for assassinations and extortion. Various criminal and foreign elements will be active users of CryptoNet, but this will not halt the spread of crypto anarchy. Just as the technology of printing altered and reduced the power of medieval guilds and the social power structure, so too will cryptologic methods fundamentally alter the nature of corporations and of government interference in economic transitions. Arise, you will have nothing to lose but your barbed wire fences. Rest in peace, Timothy. And with that, let's get into interesting video of the day.
Thriller Podcast. Interesting crypto video of the day.
So it's time for our interesting video of the day, and it is very much related to crypto anarchy and the coin of Monero. You know, Edward Snowden said, I want to say right when Bitcoin got very popular at the beginning of 2017, I think it was, he thought Bitcoin was great, but he was afraid because it didn't mask finding out who exactly was behind the transaction because of the public immutable record. But one thing he did mention was Zcash. And we've done an inside protocol on Zcash, but we've yet to do one on Monero. And that'll likely have to happen here very soon, because I feel like an inside protocol of Monero will definitely let people know exactly how hidden it can really be when making transactions on wherever you do it at. Our interesting video of the day is about a fluffy pony. That's right. So, Magical Crypto Friends, probably one of the biggest, happiest bunch of crypto leaders in the space, had their take on BAT. That's right, Basic Attention Token. And they rip it to shreds. And it all started with Fluffy Pony. Take a listen.
With a lot, and this is true for a lot of dApps, is that they are a lot more centralized than they purport to be. So as an example, with Basic Attention Token, if you use the Brave browser, then you can earn BAT by giving adverts or producers or whatever your attention. And so because you give it your attention, you earn BAT. That's the theory. And so I was having this debate on Twitter with a BAT shill, and I said, okay, but that's going to be gamed. At some point, you know, someone's going to figure out the heuristics, and they're going to, you know, write a bunch of bots that are going to be indistinguishable from real humans, because they're going to be moving mice and clicking on things and typing things in, and it's going to appear to be real browsing, and they're going to airdrop these tokens onto them. And then someone came back and pointed me to a tweet by Ike, who had said that they're going to use proof of browsing to determine what is true and what isn't true, and what is a real human, what isn't. And it doesn't even matter, because they can just claw it back if the person's trying to game the system. And I went and did some research. I was like, what clawback is this? And did a bunch of research and found out that they've got this clawback system where they airdrop a bunch of tokens to you, and so now you're like, yay, I'm rich because I've gone and browsed websites. And then when you try withdraw it, they're like, KYC AML, and also proof of browsing. And if you fail these checks, they just take the money back from you. I mean, it's not yours yet, because you haven't withdrawn it, is their theory. But at the end of the day, that's no different from a database, because, you know, they're controlling everything. They're controlling the influx of supply into the market. They're controlling whether or not somebody legitimately earns BAT. And, you know, if you wanted to give your attention to advertisers or content producers, but do so privately, well, now you can't because you have to KYC in order to withdraw. And they you know, they push a lot about how, like, oh, they've got privacy stuff around that. But the reality is it's a centralized system. They even admitted it's semi-centralized, which, of course, is code for we could be using a database. And I mean, I look at stuff like this and I'm like, what's the point? Why do you have this decentralized token if you're then going to layer centralized nonsense on top of it?
Yeah, I agree.
Exactly.
Yeah, but also, like, the name Basic Attention Token, it should already be like red flags all over. Who calls something that? But it actually surprised me that Coinbase added it. Well, not really surprised me. It was like on their shortlist for a while, but that surprised me. I mean, it doesn't make much sense, the token itself. Coinbase now also only has it on the USDC market, their own, like, their stable coin. So you cannot even buy it with Bitcoin on Coinbase.
I have a theory that half the stuff is just going to be forked and redone as a LAP anyway. And then what?
Well, you don't even need a token. You could just pay with Lightning. That is for tipping too, right? It's supposed to be, if you like the content, you can tip them back.
Well, the whole point for BAT was that they wanted to create money, right? So when you challenge him about why they need to create BAT, his answer was, well, no one would give us free Bitcoin to give out to users. So,
which is so dumb.
That was his answer, right? So, I mean, they just wanted to create money out of thin air so they can airdrop it onto their users.
The whole thing is dumb because, I mean, at the end of the day, if you're a content producer and you want to advertise, i.e. you want to buy attention from people, then you already have options. You can buy adverts. And now all they needed to do was create a system where instead of that you can pay users directly to watch your stuff. I mean, they can still have proof of browsing and whatever they want. But, I mean, it could be a Bitcoin transaction or a Lightning transaction between the content producer and the end user who's watching the stuff. You don't need to create another token and airdrop it.
I mean, that's ridiculous. Kind of like the same thing happens to all these companies that create tokens, right? They want to have something that's useful and they want to create value out of nothing. So it's kind of, to them, it's like win-win, but they don't realize they're just creating something that's useless, right? That's not much better than a database.
You already have this whole system of a BAT in, like, mobile apps and games, right? When you are playing a free-to-play game, they'll run an ad or let you choose to watch an app to earn the in-game currency. So you already have it.
It's stored in a database.
Yes. So now they've kind of made it a token that is kind of even more useless, because why do you want BAT?
And the worst, what frustrates me the most are the BAT apologists that sort of go, yeah, but the thing is, Brave as a browser is really good, and so we can accept the fact that this token is nonsensical, or we can ignore it in our heads and justify it because the browser's good. You know, creating a browser costs money.
Well, the browser's not that good. I've tested it.
It's, yeah, kind of, I'm not a big fan of it either. I switch back.
Yeah, I tried it for a while. I liked, like, the Tor tab integration and that, and then I switched back as well. I'm just like, okay, I'm done.
I've used it a bit, but I decided, like, once they started doing BAT, I'm like, what's the point, right?
So then you were thinking, oh, scammers.
Yeah, if they were using Litecoin, I would use it.
I just think, like, the problem is this has become such a pervading attitude now. I mean, imagine if you were inventing Tor today. Your mind would go towards, like, how do I incentivize routing nodes and that sort of thing, and you'd create a pointless token for private browsing when Tor has worked just fine for, you know, what's it, well over a decade?
It's not a bad idea, Ricardo. Let me go do it.
No, it's a terrible idea. It is a terrible idea.
Where can I get some onion coins?
I'll sell you some.
Okay, that's, we give enough attention to the attention token.
We gave it some basic attention.
Yeah, so as you can tell, this is why you need to listen to everybody and not just one singular person in the crypto space. Everybody's going to have a different outlook on the same token or cryptocurrency or whatever it is, idea, you know, whatever it is, everybody's going to have a different outlook or a different set of eyes on it. This is why it's good to listen to everybody. One thing I will touch on, and I'm not a bat apologist, as I said there, but I will say, though, when it comes to technology, when it comes to building out these systems, you have to start somewhere. I totally get what they're saying about it being centralized and it being a database. For everything that they said is exactly true. But when you're creating systems, especially in the early internet, we weren't left with just AOL. At some point, somebody came around and said, hey, this all needs to be web pages or GeoCities or Yahoo domains or whatever it was, right? It wasn't just fully functioning AOL. At some point, it broke off and became something else, or there's always going to be the next one, right? I think one of the main reasons Coinbase added BAT was because they wanted to kick off this whole, you know, crypto tokenization of new media. And the Dow Jones was behind it. And of course, you know, you have DCG, a big conglomerate in this space behind it as well too. So there was already a big centralized authorities behind the induction of Brave browser and of BAT. And so that's the reason it showed up on Coinbase, to make no mistake about that. And the fact that it's an ERC-20 token makes it even easier for them to add it. I will say one other thing. A lot of this stuff can be remade or redone in a better way, in a decentralized way. Right now, we're seeing basically everybody racing to the finish line to create something that they're quote unquote calling decentralized, when in actuality, it's probably not. It's probably more centralized, or a hybrid of decentralization and centralization at the same time. Now, this is how this, you know, sparks new ideas, and as more people become into the space and as more projects get called out, you'll start seeing either forks of those projects or entirely new projects, just better, right? Today, Patreon went on a rampage and started blocking all kinds of accounts. Will we see a decentralized solution for Patreon? Of course we will. This is what I'm talking about. These are the early days when it comes to, you know, this whole space, and I'm not going to fault Brave for taking it the first steps in front of it. Is Ricardo right? Is Fluffy Pony right? What's the point of it? I think he has a point there, but I would just say you have to start somewhere. Not everything can be decentralized right now. It's just too damn slow. Imagine trying to browse something in Brave and it's just too slow because you're sending Satoshis while you're viewing it at the same time, all in this kind of symphony. It's not going to work. It's going to be too crummy. So, yeah, that's why you have Brave Browser. That's why you have BAT Attention Token. And that's why you have the conglomerates behind it pushing an agenda for it. But to shit on it for that, I don't know. I'd say, good idea. Maybe the next one will be better. With that, let's get into coin talk. That's right.
It is time. Only crypto, coins, trades, predictions ahead. It is what you spend all day wondering. Isn't it
this crypto dream? Only on Coin Talk. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Coin Talk. That's right. Your favorite part of the day, my favorite part of the day as well, too. But before we jump into it, got a couple things I want to discuss. First off, I want to say thank you to all of my supporters out there. I got an overwhelming response in regards to the family situation that happened last week. I just got to say, you know, every email, every message, you know, that came through really, you know, got me through last week. It was a difficult week for my whole family, and it was a difficult week for me too as well. You know, it's getting better now, and you know, a lot of y'all reached out, and I really, really appreciate it from the bottom of my heart. You know, it's really surprising to me that we can have a relationship, you know, and you could be wherever you are in the world, and I can be wherever I am in the world, and we can all, you know, be great human beings to one another. It's just, it makes me believe that the world can become this great place. And it really it's an overwhelming feeling of just of good that I love. And so thank you for that. And thank you for everybody, you know, sending out messages. I really appreciate it. Just a quick update. My mom, she's doing a lot better. She's actually in rehab now. She's still having trouble talking, but she's understanding now. And her right side is not fully, you know, working with the rest of her body. But I think she's going to pull through. And I think everything's going to be fine. And I'm still here in South Texas, taking care of her day to day. And yeah, it's a lot of work, but it makes you really realize family. It really is a sentence. It's not just a quote that you see all the time. It really is. Family does come together at the times when you need it most. And it's kind of like, it's just a beautiful thing. And that's why I love this crypto space. I feel like in crypto, we all kind of treat each other like family. And those are the people I love hanging out with. So just want to say thank you to all of y'all out there for reaching out to me. Really appreciate it. I have a couple things I want to announce. Kind of bad news, but I hope everybody understands. So we won't have a Christmas episode this year, unfortunately, just because of everything that's going on with my life right now. It's kind of hectic and my schedule is just kind of in flux. So I'm kind of recording these episodes, you know, when I have a good 2 hours to fit it all in. And I wanted to do a whole Christmas episode and bring it to y'all just like we did for Thanksgiving, but it doesn't look like that's going to be able to work out just because of the timing and everything. So I do apologize about that. I'm going to try to be working on a New Year's episode for y'all. Want to make sure that I get that out. So look for that to drop next week. There'll probably be maybe one more podcast this week and then maybe just like one podcast next week. So I do apologize for that. It's just like a really, just the way the year has ended, it's just kind of everything got turned upside down. But I'm looking, hopefully, to get everything back on track here in the 1st of January to where we go back to our regular scheduled programming. So bear with me these next couple weeks if we're kind of short on episodes. We usually do 3 a week. There are some times when we used to do 4 or 5. Remember those days? Those were awesome days. But so just bear with me this week and next week. And I think by January 1st, January 2nd, we'll be back to our regular scheduled programming. And also want to mention that we do have our Thriller Crypto t-shirt that's still going up on sale right now. It's $24 and it's actually pretty sweet. I think we still need to hit our threshold. So if you haven't purchased one yet, I think you have like maybe 5 or 4 more days. So if you want to make sure that you get a t-shirt for this crypto winter, by all means, support our Thriller studio that we're trying to build out next year and get yourself a t-shirt. Also want to thank everybody that has either donated or has bought a t-shirt. I really appreciate you. Just know that I'm going to try to do something special for each and every one of you that has done this. And I'm going to try to either incorporate some kind of poster board on the studio or something that can, commemorate what you did by helping build this out. So just know that if you are part of the few that purchased a t-shirt or donated in some sort of fashion, and I'm going to try to commemorate your name on the studio somewhere. So that way you can, you know, whenever you visit, it's going to be right there and it's going to be just a sign of supporters for Thriller Studio. So thank you so much for all your support. Also want to mention next month, January 1st, which is New Year's as well, we're going to be giving away crypto like we always do. That's right. We're going to be giving away crypto. Haven't decided on the coin just yet, but you know how we always do. We give away free crypto the 1st of the month. It's going to be a little tight this month. So we might have like 2 or 3 spots, depending. Yeah, we're going to give away crypto on January 1st. So sign up to the newsletter. It's in the show notes and get that email. And as soon as that email comes in, you know, send us your address and follow the instructions. And yeah, you should be good. And then I think that's everything. I think that's everything. So look for another episode to drop later this week. And then maybe one episode next week. It's going to be a really difficult time because I'm going to make the transition from South Texas to back home in Austin and go back to work and get in the flow of things there. And then kind of still look over my mom here. It's going to be a back and forth. There's going to be a lot of traveling in at the end of December and a lot of traveling in January, I think. So just bear with me. I know over time it'll go back to normal. But let me just say, I do know that every day that you have your life where you just, you know, you're just kind of on autopilot, don't take those days for granted. I must say, I don't think I'm ever going to take the boring days for granted anymore, just because those are some of the most beautiful days that I can think of now. With that, let's get into our disclaimer. That's right, we got to play it. Let's do it. Roll the disclaimer.
Remember, Thriller Podcast does not give financial advice. He cannot tell the future, even if he thinks he can. He is just some dude trying to save the world one Satoshi at a time.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Coin Talk. That's right. I mean, you gotta think about this. Today we went up $11 billion. That's right. It's at $113 billion. We were at 102, 101, barely at that 100 billion mark for the coin market cap, and just injected today was 10 billion. Everybody has speculated as to why that is. People are calling it the next sign of a bull run. And they're also saying that White House appointment to Chief of Staff Mulvaney was probably the cause for it. Either way, it doesn't matter. It's still great that Bitcoin is up tremendously. Now, I want to kind of bring up one thing. There is a lot of news swirling right now around Facebook. They're going to be adding, we're thinking, a cryptocurrency. That's right. There's been rumors, as you know, people have been speculating what they're going to be using their new blockchain team for. Some people are saying that we might see a system or a social network very similar to Steam. That would be interesting. Or we might see some ads that users will be receiving money for or Facebook coin for, who knows. But they are currently building this out, and it looks like it's going to be launching here probably next year or so. If that were to happen, I'm not saying that their coin or their presence in the space will change the world, because I don't think it will. But it will drive adoption. It will get the people that are in the mainstream, no coiners, as we phrase them, get to look at cryptocurrency. Because they'll see Facebook coin. They'll be like, what is this? And I'm knowing Facebook, they'll say, oh, it's some kind of cryptocurrency. But then when they go actually do a research video on it, because I'm sure there'll be tons of crypto YouTube videos on it, they'll say, but buy Bitcoin instead. Trade your Facebook coin for Bitcoin instead. And that's a good sign. We also have Samsung. That's right. They're working on their own Bitcoin crypto wallet. And they're hell-bent on releasing it next year. So if it gets a secure enclave and it has a fully fledged wallet, it'll be very interesting to see how Samsung will integrate Bitcoin and other Ethereum, you know, or maybe even ERC-20 tokens. Who knows? But if they do implement some kind of secure element on their next phone, right after them is usually Apple. The Apple tends to wait until something is big enough for them to dip their toes into. At that point, they try to do the same thing, but better. So we're on a trajectory here, people, ladies and gentlemen, for the mainstreamers out there to be introduced to Bitcoin or to cryptocurrency here fairly soon. you know, it'd be awesome to go into a Verizon store and purchase a new Samsung phone, and right next to it says it's a blockchain wallet as well. People will ask what that is. People will wonder, how do I buy Bitcoin? Before you know it, Verizon starts taking Bitcoin. I'm just saying, the big giant snowball at the top of the hill is forming, and when it starts rolling, we're going to start seeing mass adoption. So I think it's a little bit of everything. I think it's that. I also seen a lot of different wrist watches, wristbands out there that are trying to do crypto on it and to pay for it with NFC, vice versa. But the adoption's happening, and 2019 is looking to be a spectacular year. I know I said that last year, but 2018 was a great year. It really was. We saw a lot of improvement of these systems, of these different crypto projects. And for the most part, I'm bullish. I'm definitely bullish on where everything is going for next year. Quick recap, we have Bitcoin at $3,545. That's right, up 8%. We got XRP up 33 cents. That's right, it was at 29 cents, touched 28 cents over the weekend, up 15%. Ethereum, $94, went down to $80 this weekend, up 10%. We got EOS taking fourth place from Stellar, up 25% at $2.43. Thriller effect? Just kidding. We got Stellar at 10 cents, closing in on 11 cents at 12% up for the day. And of course, we have Litecoin jumping up to $29, up 12% to round off the top seven. And also looks like Tron is making a move here, up 6% at a penny. We got Cardano at 3 cents, going up 2 pennies from the weekend, up 12%. We got Monero at $44, up $5 on the day, 11% up. We got Dash, $70.41, up 10%. And a host of others, Zcash at $56, up 8%. Yeah. A lot of interesting stuff out there. 0x making moves too as well at 29 cents, up 8%. And everything else looking good. Yeah, 113 billion coin market cap. That is astounding. You know, it's money has been tight for the most part for me and my family this past week, but I managed to scrounge up some cash and buy some Bitcoin this morning on Gemini Exchange. I must say, man, Gemini Exchange is freaking amazing, especially on the mobile app. The only thing I ran into today was the speed of when the fiat hit my mobile app. It took like 60 seconds, which is fine. But I think once they close that gap, once I'm able to unwrap that fiat right away, man, that exchange is going to be my go-to app to buy Ethereum and other cryptocurrencies. I hope they add some other ones here very soon. Right now, I'm just buying Ethereum from it and sometimes Bitcoin when I feel like it. Most of the time, it's done through Square. But yeah, it's a good day in crypto. Everything's up. If you bought at $32,000 Bitcoin, you're looking pretty good right now. But who knows what tomorrow brings? We're still in the dead of crypto winter. But with that, let's get into our main topic, Bitcoin recall. That's right. We're going to dive into it starting now.
Just like me, 100 unions in the snow. I watch them walking, I watch them falling. We live always underground. It's gonna be so quiet in here tonight. 1,000 islands in the sea, it's a shame.
Today we're discussing Bitcoin recall. A lot of you out there got in when the getting was good. We were at 3,000 at some point last year. I want to say it was maybe October or September. And we saw it rise up to $20,000. Since then, we've seen it climb back down to around $3,500 today. Now, some of you have forgotten why we got into this for the first place. Did you lose your memory? Did you forget that the goal of Bitcoin wasn't to be a centralized, institutional-grade gold? Did you forget that this Bitcoin could be used peer-to-peer all around the world, and you could make any transaction over the blockchain instantly in a matter of minutes. Did you forget why we got into this for the first place? There's so many people in this space right now that think institutional grade Bitcoin will save us all. I'm not so sure anymore. I think Bitcoin will save us all, and everybody else will either get on board with it or get left behind. In the future, I don't foresee us fighting the institutions or centralized entities for our Bitcoin. I see us understanding that private keys and the use of hardware wallets are a necessity in this space. And it is up to us to educate the masses. Take a listen to Juan Llanos, a fintech and regtech lead at Consensus, as he talks about why blockchain regulation technology is important. But he also lets us in on why regulators and governments out there are afraid of something like Bitcoin. Take a listen.
When regulation today is enforced through intermediaries, there's always someone in the middle. It's jurisdiction dependent. There's mm-hmm. always a constraint, a geographical constraint, mm-hmm. and it's activity and product based, right? So if your activity or the service you provide falls under a certain definition, that kind of regulation, that regime applies to you, a specific regime applies to you. I'm talking about insurance or banking or depository products or money transmission products mm-hmm. or securities. So it's all industry specific and product specific, right? Product based. And then comes this open blockchain revolution where when the Bitcoin movement started off as a big FU to the establishment, right? Mm-hmm. As a reaction to the abuses and the the cold-heartedness of the previous generation of financial services engineers, if you will, right? Mm-hmm. And also the frustrating lack of accountability, you know, for things that were so wrong and went unpunished and there was no consequence about that, right? So we have to understand that that was the onset, right? But when you talk about technology, you have to talk about, first of all, there's different layers, right? And yeah. I think unfairly, the whole world is looking unfairly at a base layer protocol and asking it to be overly compliant with many things when we're not doing the same with SMTP or with a HTTP or whatever, or any other base layer protocol, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's one thing that I think we should pay attention to.
And that leads me to Venezuela. There's so many people out there that have less than us. This whole world is highly upside down. I could bring out statistics, I could bring out numbers, but it's safe to say we are not playing on a level playing field out there. There are some countries that are hurting more than others. There are some individuals inside of those countries that are hurting a lot more than their peers. And this is why Bitcoin is important, because it allows regular individuals out there to hold a valuable digital asset, a cryptocurrency that could potentially change their lives for the better. This is why education like this podcast and videos and having a fully functioning phone in these third world countries is important, because it puts a banking system back in their hands and it allows them to participate in this global economy. I love seeing when people educate themselves. I love seeing people take their lives by their own hands and change it for the better. And Venezuela is doing just that. Take a listen.
Venezuela. Economically destroyed, Venezuela.
Where the economy is falling apart, where there's, you know, a despotic regime that's pillaging essentially everything, using its control over the monetary system.
Tucker told us how Venezuelans are mining Bitcoin to escape their country's crippled financial system.
It's like a safety valve. It's giving people an out. So actually providing the next monetary technology for the future of Venezuela.
So we went there. And we found that crypto technology is bringing freedom to Venezuela. But not just to the Venezuelan people. In Venezuela, the money is basically useless. In December, Venezuela's estimated annual inflation rate crossed 59,000%. So something worth 80,000 bolivars today would sell for 47 million bolivars a year from now. That makes anything that isn't the bolivar, Venezuela's state currency, pretty valuable. And Bitcoin is a way to get that, because it operates outside the normal financial system. Bitcoin, by the way, has had a very bad year. This past year, it's been a worse investment than the euro, or even the Turkish lira. But it still outperformed the bolivar. This is what a Venezuelan Bitcoin mining operation looks like. Machines that are hard at work solving cryptographic puzzles to verify transactions on the blockchain. In return, you get Bitcoin. And this is a Bitcoin miner. We can't show her face because mining Bitcoin can get you arrested. But miners say it's worth the risk. She trades her Bitcoin for US dollars and uses that to buy medicine and food.
Creo que la minería es una herramienta en contra del gobierno porque le ayuda a todo el que está minando a resistir aquí.
This is exactly what Tucker imagined crypto could be, a tool against oppressive governments.
That's right, a tool against oppressive governments. This enables everyday citizens of third world countries to take back their lives. Now, the reason for Bitcoin is simple. You hold it, it goes up. You can choose to spend it if you so like, but you can transact anywhere and you can pay anybody globally, peer to peer. It's pretty brilliant if you ask me. Now there's somebody who is very much what you would call a Bitcoin maximalist. And everything he says is exactly true. Bitcoin is a hard currency, since gold. Will it become the standard? Only time will tell. Will gold go away? Only time will tell. Will fiat go away? I definitely think so. How long will that take? I don't know. Maybe years, maybe decades. But to say a blockchain project is not important because it's not Bitcoin is wrong. Bitcoin can't do everything, but what it does great. And it being a hard currency is the best out there. There's nothing like it. Yes, it'll implement Lightning. Yes, maybe those channels will be centralized. But on the base protocol level of Bitcoin, it's simply the best digital currency in the entire world, and nothing comes close. Now, do you remember why we got into this space? It doesn't mean that other blockchain projects can't become valuable, or it doesn't mean that their projects are insignificant. It just means that Bitcoin, when it comes to currency, is as hard as it gets. Nothing comes close in crypto to Bitcoin. And for that, that's why we call it king. That's why we call it the OG. But take a listen to Saferdin Omayas, the author of the Bitcoin Standard.
So easy money refers to money whose quantity is easy to increase in case there is an increase in demand for it. So if people move towards using copper as money, it is very easy for copper miners to produce very large quantities of copper that will increase the supply and bring the price back down, which will hurt the people who used copper as their store of value, because the value of copper will go down. So copper is bad as a store of value, therefore it is bad as money, because it is easy to produce in response to an increase in demand. Therefore, copper is easy money. Gold, on the other hand, is hard money, because even if the price of gold goes up a lot, it is very hard for gold miners to increase the existing supplies of gold in the world significantly. And therefore, even if the price goes up because everybody's using gold as a store of value, it is hard to increase the supply, therefore it is hard to bring the value down. Therefore, gold serves as a good store of value in the long run. And time has shown that this is the case. It's served as much better store of value than other forms of money over time. So Bitcoin is far closer to gold. It is a digital equivalent of gold. Bitcoin is the digital version of gold, essentially. And people need to really understand that this is not an easy thing, and it's not a small claim, but they really need to understand why this is the case, why it functions that way. We need to get a little bit technical in the operation of Bitcoin, and the main idea is that Bitcoin's supply is strictly limited. There will only ever be 21 million Bitcoins, and the code that controls the issuing of the Bitcoins is decentralized amongst thousands, tens of thousands of nodes that operate the Bitcoin software. And if it were to change, it would need essentially the unanimous agreement of everybody involved. And since everybody involved has an interest in maintaining the monetary policy in a way that maintains the value of the money, it is highly unlikely that we're going to witness any change in the monetary policy. And if you've been following Bitcoin for the past few years, you'll see that even tiny technical changes like changing the block size or various parameters within Bitcoin, these sorts of changes have been almost impossible to make in Bitcoin. We need to start considering the fact that Bitcoin as it is going to survive. If you're going to try to change Bitcoin, what you'll end up with is another altcoin or another alternative coin. There are thousands of these. None of them matter, in my opinion, and we could get into that why in a bit. But essentially, it's possible to make a copy of Bitcoin, but it's not possible to change Bitcoin. There will always be some nodes that want to stick to the inflation schedule as it is, and there will always be some people who want to do that. And since that is the case, most likely everybody will want to stick with that. So therefore, I really think the monetary policy of Bitcoin, people need to start considering that it is immutable, that it isn't going to change. And since the supply is strictly limited, and since the network is distributed, nobody can control it, we might just have the digital equivalent of gold. And this, I think, is an enormously important innovation, because it has many properties, and it has many good properties that gold doesn't have, which is that it's very easy to send across the world very quickly. And it's much harder to confiscate it than gold. And therefore, the possibilities are very exciting for people who believe in the importance of sound money for society. The real value of Bitcoin, and this is what I've been arguing for a while, the real value of Bitcoin is not in it's not in its operation, it's not in the payment network, it's not in fast or cheap payments or any of that. The real value is in the immutable monetary policy. And therefore, any coin that will fork off Bitcoin, like Bitcoin Cash, starts off without the immaculate conception that Bitcoin has, therefore starts off as being something that is editable, and therefore starts off as being something that whose monetary policy can be altered, and therefore it's never going to compete with Bitcoin. And this is really the point. If it was an issue about, you know, improving the payment speed or improving the payment transaction cost or any of that stuff, there will be many centralized alternatives that are better than Bitcoin. The issue is with Bitcoin, the reason we need the decentralization is that it prevents anybody from controlling the monetary policy and keeps the money predictable and hard. All payment solutions that we have existing over fiat money, over dollars and euros, they can easily be ported over to Bitcoin. There is no reason why credit cards and PayPal and all these new apps and innovations for payments across the world that are popping up everywhere, there's no reason why these can't be backed up with Bitcoin and people could use them. And the level of security of Bitcoin is frankly unnecessary for your daily purchases. You know, when you buy your coffee or you buy your lunch, you don't need the level of security that Bitcoin provides. It's really overkill, and you don't need to pay for it. Where Bitcoin matters is for the selling, is for the moving of very large quantities and high amounts of value, particularly in transactions where you're trying to avoid censorship, political censorship, or economic inflation from central banks. So as a store of value, this is what Bitcoin's importance is. The issues of payments and cheap payments can all be ported over sound money later on. However, if we try to compromise Bitcoin's sound money by altering something about its structure in order to make the payments faster, that will quickly devalue the proposition of the monetary supply, of the money supply being immutable, of the monetary policy being immutable, and will therefore devalue the only value proposition of Bitcoin in my mind. And in this case, you know, it wouldn't even matter if Bitcoin was fast or efficient, because there are many, many, many fast and efficient and cheap centralized payments. And in my opinion, there's no way that a decentralized network will be more efficient in processing transactions than a centralized network, because a centralized network needs one record of transaction and a few backups. A decentralized network has to record it over thousands and tens of thousands of nodes. So we'll naturally have to expend much more processing power, and we'll need much more time to sync all of the ledgers together, as we see with Bitcoin. So Bitcoin transactions are not as fast as, say, your PayPal transaction or your credit card transaction on chain, but that is fine. I think in the future, in my opinion, Bitcoin is going to move more and more towards being a settlement and clearance currency. Daily transactions will be done, can be done in Bitcoin using all sorts of digital and physical instruments and credit cards and their like. But the final clearance will happen in Bitcoin. And this is really where the real advantage of Bitcoin is. You don't want to compare Bitcoin to your credit card for your coffee. This is a little bit like using a Concorde jet plane to drive down an avenue in a city. It's a completely useless use of a very powerful tool. Where Bitcoin is really powerful is if you want to compare its transactions with interbank settlements, with central bank settlements, with trying to move actual physical gold from one place to the other. These things are very expensive. They involve a lot of security risk, and they involve the risk of being confiscated by government authorities. And yet Bitcoin can go around all of these risks. You can send $100 million in Bitcoin across the world, and it'll confirm in 30, 40 minutes, and currently the transaction fee is $2, $3. So 30, 40 minutes and $2, $3 transaction fee, or $1 transaction fee, does not compete with the credit card payment for your coffee. It doesn't need to. It competes with your central bank's clearance payment to another central bank, or settlement between large banks with one another. In that case, $2, $3, even $200 or $300 or $2,000 transaction fee is a very small price to pay, and 40 minutes is a very small amount of time for such a massively important transaction. The process of civilization, the process of human civilization, of moving away from being monkeys throwing our dirt at each other towards becoming human civilized human beings as we are today, is the process of capital accumulation. It's what differentiates us between monkeys, that we think about the future, we build tools, we own the tools, we invest in them, in making them better. We develop the ability to work for the future and not for the immediate gratification. And that's different. That differentiates us from animals in that and from Keynes, essentially, in that, you know, you're capable of thinking about planning for the future. So you invest your time not in something that will reward you now, but you invest your time in something that will increase your ability to produce now, so that in the future you can benefit from more production. So we increase the capital stock. We move from, say, catching fish with our own hands, to catching fish with a fishing rod, to catching fish with a fishing boat, then a bigger fishing boat, then a net, and then today we have these massive, highly productive, extremely sophisticated and complex ships and large trawlers that catch enormous amounts of fish. The productivity of an hour of labor, as we accumulate more capital, continues to rise. And so only because people have delayed consumption, only because people delay their gratification, only because the fisherman decides They're not going to spend some time today catching fish. Instead, they're going to spend that time building the boat. Do we get capital accumulation? Only because of that does productivity increase, and only because of that does income increase. So in the long run, you have to have a low time preference in order to accumulate capital, in order to increase the productivity, in order to have the process of civilization advance, and in order for human life to increase and for people to be able to meet their economic needs easily. As an economy advances, this is the process that happens. The opposite of that process, the process of decivilization, is what happens when people like Keynes influence economic policy, which drives governments to drive their citizens towards, we need to spend now, you need to save less. And so if you look at the 20th century, you see in the Western economies, the saving rates have been declining as people get into more and more and more debt. And we have now the idea of people getting into debt for consumption. People don't get into debt just for investment anymore. They get into debt for consumption, to finance their consumption. So capital accumulation is essentially being reversed, regardless of what the numbers of the money show, because that money is something that's very easy to produce. What is really happening in terms of the physical capital stock is that it's the growth in the physical capital stock is declining. The amount of savings that people have, the amount of capital that individuals have, is declining because more and more people are getting into debt. And that's the result of 80 years of activist government policy, trying to force people towards higher levels of spending and less saving and less investment. And it's essentially the opposite of the process of civilization. It's the process of decivilization. Bitcoin is already turning this thing around because essentially it is already the national currency of the internet, if you want. It's already a currency of a new economy, and anybody who wants can join that currency, regardless of what their government's monetary policy is. So it's as if we have a new country with a new central bank and a new monetary policy, and it's open to anybody in the world to join it and to begin to use a store of value that is not easy money, that is hard money, that is meant to appreciate. And once you've made that move, you know, I know a lot of people individually who have witnessed this change in their own attitude. When once you've started holding some Bitcoin and you see it appreciate, you start understanding that there is a very high opportunity cost to spending, and you start thinking of spending, of frivolous spending, twice. And you start thinking of saving more and more and more because you understand that saving will appreciate over time. And so you see this change in many Bitcoiners, that they used to be more of a high time preference, high spending people who would just get their paycheck and spend it like most people do today. But once they start moving into Bitcoin, they understand. And the reason they do that is because if you're spending, you know, if you're earning your money in dollars and then if you save it in dollars, it's likely to lose its value over time. It won't appreciate. And then if you put it in investments, there are always risks involved. And so generally, the declining value of money is going to likely lead you to spend more and more and more. But you see it as they switch towards Bitcoin, we get that opposite effect. And I think this might be the most important thing that Bitcoin does in terms of its effect on what on people's time preference and people's long-term horizon.
What will the future look like? Will everybody run around and pay everything with Satoshis? Will we look back to this date and see that we were all just blind to the fact that Bitcoin was inevitable as a new standard for the global economy? Or will we realize that we were all taken for a Ponzi scheme? I don't know, but I do believe in Bitcoin. I do believe that it will save the world. And for that, call me crazy or call me just lucky, but I'm so glad to be in Bitcoin right now. With that, let's get on to the end of the show.
This could be the last time. That could be the fall line slipping away. This could be your last line. Care about everything you say. This might be the last ride. Every road could fall right under our feet and sink into the ocean. This will be a lost street. When you open your eyes, it's light. Nothing's real. When you open your eyes, it's light.
Another episode is done. I want to leave you with a little bit of something, though, something I've been thinking a lot about. When next year, when these institutions come in and get their claws on Bitcoin, they're going to want you to leave that Bitcoin on an exchange. Don't do it. Keep your private keys safe. And remember why we got into this in the first place. It wasn't to buy Lambos. It wasn't to gain fiat. It was because we believed in something bigger than ourselves. We believed in saving the entire fucking world. So go out there, buy Bitcoin, and do your part.
This is the end of the show. You have been listening to Killer Podcast with Car Gonzalez. Remember, Thriller Podcast is not financial advice. Everything Car said likely won't come true. It is up to you. Now go, do your own research. Listen to other dudes that start their name with crypto, and not Car. And remember, buy Bitcoin and save the world. One Satoshi at a time.